broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
We move along now and we talk about working from the office and how it's gaining momentum after the rise of work from home. We saw, since COVID, everybody moved to their homes. They were given the support that they needed in the form of devices, UPS, to keep them up and running so that they could work from home. And then we all got very comfortable with working from home. And then South African employers started reconsidering their workplace policies and now requiring employees to return to the office. This debate has gone on whether it works in the office or whether it works at home. And it also raised concerns about mental health. So yes, you were at home, you were more flexible, you had your family, but did you ever stop working? So it also raises an important legal question. Can companies in South Africa require employers who work remotely to return to working from an office? So let's unpack this with Yvonne Mfeka, Director in the Employment Law Practice at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. A very good evening to you, Yvonne. Thanks for joining me.
Good evening to you and to your listeners.
I'm so glad that we managed to get you on a secure line. For some reason, we couldn't get our previous guests. I'm so glad that you're joining me. And this is such an interesting topic. And it brings this legal question into play. Can companies, because companies are doing it, I know a few friends of mine have been told that there's a hybrid model in place for now. You need to come into work at least three times in the week. And some of them are struggling, are really struggling. And the others are saying, yes, thank you. I want to go back to the office because I'm going crazy. There's just so much happening at home. And I feel like I haven't stopped working at all. So what is the legality around this?
Thanks. I mean, I must just point out that the issue of remote working, it's actually not brand new. We know that initially it was sort of for the select few, either at senior levels, and they used to regulate those through individual contracts. There's nothing different at this point in time. The legalities around that is if your contract of employment makes provision for remote working, specifically and only for remote work, employers are required to engage with you as an employee and negotiate, because when it's actually in your contract of employment, it means the term and condition of your employment. So for it to be changed, they need to get consent or agreement from you. But we've also seen some contracts that have provision. They provide for a place of work as it is required by the BCEA, which is the Basic Conditions of Employment, but it also provides for employer discretion to change that. And that engagement is a way it's different than when it actually only provides for remote work. And that means they have to consult with you, get inputs from you, and also give you reasonable notice for you to return to work. So at the core of this legalities is that they need to engage. They cannot unilaterally require you to come back to the office when you have been working remotely for a period of time.
So how do they go about it the correct way? Because what you're saying is that they can't force people to come back. They have to have a discussion. They have to have agreement that you would come back. You could have pushback from your employee.
Certainly, and understandably so, right? Because when people went to work remotely, it was, that's one event, COVID. We all needed to be home and we were supported and we adjusted our lives in terms of that we are actually at home. So the legality. So we don't have a piece of legislation that deals specifically with remote work, but the legal framework as it exists caters for how you go about requiring people to come back from work. So maybe let's start here. There's three parts to it. The first part is that the BCEA requires an employer to state in writing where an employee is going to work. And that is recorded normally in a contract of employment. And the second part is, so you have that BCEA and then you have a contract of employment that's expressly state where you're going to work. As I said, when we started with this conversation, that it's either say you are going to work remotely, exclusively, so that becomes a condition of your employment, or you can work remotely, but as an employer, we can require you to work in any other place of work, and that is specifically requires a different way of engagement. And then the third part is that you have to do it fairly and lawfully, and that's what the LRA, the Labor Relations Act, becomes of great importance, how you go about it. The one overarching principle that you must do so in a fair and lawful manner. So what this requires that? So if the contract of employment provides for you to work remotely exclusively, then the employer needs to engage, needs to negotiate with you. They can't do it unilaterally, so they need to call you in and say, our business requirements have changed and we need you to come back. And if, because it's a term and condition of your employment, you are not agreeing, so there's a need for an agreement, then when they do it unilaterally, that means it's a breach, then we can follow contractual law. If it is if the contract of employment makes provision for a change, the consultation is to allow the two parties to engage and understand how best and how fairly you can be returned to the office. For an example, an employer can come back to you, can approach you and say you need to come back tomorrow, right? So that consultation is to ascertain how best and how reasonably conditions can be place for you to come back to the office. And that does not necessarily require agreement, but that engagement is to hear you as an employee, what you need to make the transition back on site, what you need to do for from an adjustment perspective. And then only then will you be coming back. So it's always going to be tested on fairness and that it must be reasonable and must be lawful.
So in other words, the employee can actually say, no, I don't want to come back.
So, okay, and as I say, I'm using the two scenarios, right? In where there is an agreement, as I said, explicitly saying remote work, when you say no and the employer unilaterally implement that, so that means they are in breach of that of the contract of employment, and then you can claim for specific performance, and that's a process that can take that can go through the courts. The one way the employer has discretion and there's a need for consultation, where the consultation has ended and they've given you as an employee an opportunity to state how best you can come back, the answer can't be no, I don't want to come back. The conversation is what do you require? And if you say no, then obviously it's going to be you may find yourself being not being able to be retained in the office, because now you are also in breach of your own contract of employment. And if there's a policy around place of work, then you will be in breach of that.
So you can't say no, but you can say, look, I'm not ready as yet. Help me 100%. Get ready. And then I will come in.
100%. And that's where the fairness comes in, right? So that you need to balance the interests of both. The employer can't just say, you need to come back in the next 72 hours. And you yourself, you can't say, I'm never coming back, because there is a requirement, there's an operational requirement for you to come back to the office.
So when you look at how this is being navigated by companies, would you perhaps know on whether, well, this is obviously by law, they have to have these discussions. What happens with companies that are not having these discussions with their employees, not having this kind of negotiation, getting them to sign to say that they've had a discussion around this?
Yeah. I mean, that would be quite unfortunate, right? Because now you are really violating the very core of an employment relationship, which is based on trust and fairness. And where there is unfairness, the employee has recourse to take action disputes to the CCMA to resolve that. Because then there is a part that the employer is unilaterally and unreasonably and unfairly implementing this term and condition, and the CCMA has jurisdiction to deal with those disputes.
But then it begs the next question that I have around employee awareness. Do they even know that they are entitled to have this discussion? Because then I know for a fact that some people have been told to come back, and there was no form, there was no negotiation. They got like an intranet. They've got emails going out throughout the company saying that you will be required to return to work on a certain date, and attend work. At least come to the office at least 3 times a week. You can either choose, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But this is going to happen from a certain date. There was no discussion, I know for a fact.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, it's actually quite unfortunate, right? Because as I say, we in a work environment that we are dealing with a relationship between an employer and an employee, and those engagements are critical, because the very same reason why you want employees to come, you want them to come back to be productive. And if you don't follow this process, the how becomes quite critical. And if when people are not away, and I can just tell from your question that there seem to be a lack of knowledge, and that people actually want to be engaged on the conditions or the basis on which they need to come back. Because sometimes we've also seen that there is also differentiation between employees on who is required to come back and who remains. And those questions can be posed. And I think employers mustn't feel offended when employees want to understand and ask questions, because it is a change. The same way that it was a change for people to go and work remotely. Some didn't want to, but they actually had to. And the change for them to come back, employers mustn't feel offended when employees are asking those questions. They may be tough, and they may need a level of compromise and a time period within which employees can come back. But as I say, if they do it unilaterally, and without any engagement, there is definitely recourse for employees.
I agree. I definitely think that there needs to be more awareness around this. But, you know, given the climate that we're in, the economic climate that we're in, and the situation around jobs, people also really trying to hold on to their jobs and scared to rock the boat as well. But if there is recourse for them, that they are entitled to this kind of employment contracts, and this kind of discussions that need to be had, this negotiation and this kind of consultation, then they need to take that up.
100%. And yeah, I mean, I have seen, sometimes it is about, you know, employers acting a certain way because of business pressures. But I've also seen employees really, coming up and asking the questions, because the questions are valid, right? If you suddenly need to adjust your budget, right, from a perspective of having to cater for transportation and childcare, those are real issues, and you can't expect employees not to have those concerns. And and I know that in the space of human capital and people agendas, that employers want employees that are engaged. But if you're not going to give yourself an opportunity to hear what employees have to say about the transitioning back, you may just have people coming back disgruntled and not really achieve what you seek to achieve through them being coming back. So and there is definitely a way. So in some instances, employees, they raise these as grievances. And I understand that people may also be reluctant to do that, because it seems as if you're challenging. But those those processes, those internal processes, are actually meant to resolve issues before you even go to the places such as the CCMA and the bargaining council in the courts, just to make sure that people have that engagement and dialogue internally. So employees can do that as well.
Yep, it's good to know before you actually take or go down those processes. Yvonne, thank you so much for that very informative and educational insight coming through there. Yvonne Mfeka, Director in the Employment Law Practice at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.